Okay. Imagine we're all a little bit tired this morning. Maybe not. Okay, good. Okay, we got up to Chaf Hey. We did the top paragraph. And perhaps we can finish the introduction today. The Rebbe is saying we have to make sure that the children get emotionally connected to what we're doing in terms of Avodas Hashem. And in the greatest way of Chassidus is to take a physically enjoyable pleasure and connect it to the spiritual levels. And if we can get that to happen in children, even though it's not in the mature way of mature Chassidim, that can take it all the way to the higher levels. And even if they can't quite get it to the higher levels, but they're at least enjoying the experience, is something that we will come to. We prematurely have to do this because other fun things are coming in their life and they have to be able to have something to counteract that. So now he kind of closes up and says a little bit what he's going to discuss and what he's not going to discuss, and then gives a few examples of it. Not that our book is going to detail every aspect of education. We have only pointed out the main causes of the destruction of children's education at this time. How we have to be much more meticulous in these generations than in earlier generations. And we've mapped out the way the teachers and parents should deal with their children. We've written this down so that we can use it in the right way. Use what in the right way? Even with the poison that's in them, which is the yeshus, the super ego, the super I that children feel, and that comes way premature, that comes out before it's supposed to come. We have to use that early independence in a way that will work in our favor. And other aspects of chinuch, we want our teachers and parents to look into the Torah, the Hakadosh, the Holy Torah. They'll find everything they need. Methodologies, the Torah gives us plenty of methodologies. We have to deal with this crisis of the premature development of the child. We have to work with it as opposed to against it. We're not trying to bring in new concepts to change the whole educational system. Our Torah is eternal. And forever it is a guide for us. And will be guide for us as a derech asher nala bal Hashem, the way we'll go to Hashem. And everything that has to be done in every detail, in every aspect, the Torah is very good. It's not that he's saying the Torah is outdated. Oh, now he has to come up with brand new ideas. The Torah's idea was good for 5,500 years. Now we have to come up with new, fangled ideas. He's not saying that. He's saying the tried and true method of the Torah is correct. However, we have come up with a new crisis. We have to deal with that aspect of the new crisis in a way that also is consistent with Torah. And once we have children into what we're doing, then we can use the old methods that the Torah tells us are fine methods. And he's going to give an example. Lamash, for example. The Gemara tells us the following educational tool. Derabba mikame de pasach lehula rabbanan, that the rabbi in the yeshiva there in the Talmud, his name was Rabba, before he would open up a discussion with the rabbis, omo milsa de beduchusa, he would say a funny thing. He'd say a joke. Ubatcha rabbanan, and the rabbis would laugh. I don't think we'd laugh at the kind of jokes that they were saying, you know, the rabbinic jokes. But anyway, he would make a joke for them. You gotta remember, these people were running from the Romans who were trying to kill them, so any form of the lightest humor would be funny. Okay? You know, like, he'd say, or he would say, well, How come Esther ruled over 127 provinces? How come? Well, because Sarah lived 127 years. Huh? Wasn't that a good one? You know? And for them, you know, they laugh. Oh, that's funny. You know, in other words, just the surprise. Like, what does one thing have to do with the other? But whatever it was, that's how they would get them going, so to speak. But what happened then is Lasov, but at the end, after the joke, Yosef be'emsa, they would sit with fear. Upasach b'shmaitza, they'd open up the discussion of the Talmud, and they'd be able to learn. Ad kan l'shan Gemara. That's what the Gemara has to say. So, what's going, this is an educational tool. This is an educational tool. Esa milsa debedichusa, the words of joking. Amar Mikodim, he said earlier, Kideshiyu b'simcha, so that they would be in a state of simcha. You gotta be in a state of simcha, a state of joy. Because the Shechina does not descend upon a person unless he is having simcha. Like the Gemara says over there. So you've got to open up the person, and simcha is an expansive feeling, so you open up the person, and then, you know, the Torah can go in when the person's open. That's the whole idea. Avolat Torah, but the Torah itself, when you're learning Torah, kepatish yefotzeitz salatz, like a hammer that smashes into a rock and smashes the rock. Shemizchalik lekama nitzotzos ulekama tamim, that gets broken up into many sparks, into many pieces, into many tastes, so to speak. In other words, once you crack open the Gemara and you start learning Torah, you're opening up all kinds of wisdom. Right? Uladoreinu, and for our generation, Merameses HaGemara Od, Ezeh Derech L'Rav HaMelamed. And in our generation, this Gemara is hinting more for the path of the Rav or the Melamed. Shekedei L'Rapes Petzah Hisrachku Shenasa Bein HaTalmud LaMelamed. In order to heal the wound of the distancing that has been created between the student and the teacher, Tzarech HaMelamed L'Hishtadel Liknois, turning the page, Eslev HaTalmud. The teacher has to make efforts to acquire the heart of the student, v'lashuv l'korvei olav, and to get him to, again, get closer to him. Now, how does that happen? V'asimcha hi echad meikorei ha'mitzayim l'knoso. And simcha is one of the main ways to acquire it. Right? Nefesh ha'yeled v'anar eina sovelas asa'atzvus. The soul of the young child and the young lad cannot tolerate depression and sadness. The Amalamed and the teacher Al Yisra Be'enov should not appear in the child's eyes kiragzon, like an angry person, ishmadon, and a contentious person. You don't want the kids looking at you that way. Lo shiakalas rosha b'fnei ha'talmud, not that you should appear to be, you know, lightheaded before the students. You don't want to be silly in front of the students. And that you shouldn't be denigrated chas v'shalom in their eyes. In other words, don't go to the extreme and make yourself look like a jerk, and the kids laugh at you, but they're laughing at you, and you are the joke, so to speak. Adrav, the opposite. You need this balance. Hamalamid yishtadol shireu hatalmid ki'ish merumam. The students should see, the teacher should make an effort that the students should see him as a very lofty person. Avol gam le'ish tov v'noach, but also as a good and pleasant person. You have to be able to blend that synthesis, where on the one hand they realize there's a very special person in their midst, who comports himself at a level that reflects that greatness. But on the other hand, you have to be that kind of person who is pleasant and nice and sweet, right? So gam b'shosh shemar lo habedichusa, and you want at the same time when you show him the joke, yirad haTalmud, the student will still be trembling in front of the Rebbe, will be trembling in front of the awe, because of the awe that he has from the Rebbe. On the other hand, he'll laugh when the Rebbe makes a joke. Ba'af b'shosh shematal aveima, and even if at the moment when the Rebbe is casting upon him a bit of fear, but kurtuv shel simcha, there's a certain measure of joy, of happiness, Yemobo will be circumcised in it. Very interesting way he's saying. It's like it's a little bit, you can see some simcha there. And the concept is vigilu birada, and they should rejoice in trepidation. Yirad mimenu, there are in trepidation of the Rebbe, lo kilifnei ragzim, not like their intrepidation from an angry person, and they're afraid one's going to blow up and explode and punish them. That's one kind of trepidation. And not like a kasan, an angry person, ubal egrof, and a person who's heavy-fisted. It's not that kind of fear. Rakira sakavod, but rather they are in awe of the honor of such a person. Klufnei ish mipnei aliyah, like they're standing in front of a person who's a very elevated status. Imarav domo l'mal Hashem tzvakois. If the Rebbe is compared to an angel of Hashem, right? It's really paraphrasing a verse in the Torah. In other words, be'enei ha-talmid yidnu ha-rav l'chein malach b'guf. It should be in the eyes of the student that the Rav is like, in his eyes, is like an angel in a body. That's how they should see their Rebbe. An angel in a body. Okay, or at least ki'ish merum al kaponim, or at least an elevated person. So va'az gam kishiyir gazalav, so even when the Rebbe gets angry at him because he's done something wrong, lo yisneo talmid bishvil zeh, the child won't hate him because of that. And sometimes the Rebbe has to show that he's angry and upset. He says, you didn't do it, you did a very bad thing, and we have to show we're very disappointed in what you've done, and it's not appropriate behavior. So therefore, even when he does that, right, the child won't hate him for that. And when you see the kid, when you show him a smiling face, yismach, the child will be happy. And he will continue to love him at the same time. In other words, a teacher has to develop a very good balance where, you know, in today's society, it's hard. You know, a lot of times the parents and the teachers are trying to win the child over, and they try to be their friends, try to be their pals. And that's a mistake. Because they're going to be their friends or their pals, they're not going to respect you. You need to have them respect you. At the other hand, you can't strike so much fear in them that they hate you. And you know, I'm sure you've all had those kinds of teachers in your life, both kinds. You've had the teacher that was out there to make your life miserable, and they would prove it every day. And you hated the teacher, and you hated school, and you hated Torah. Right? And yeah, you did fear them. You sure feared them, but you also hated them, and you hated Torah. And then you had certain teachers that, you know, acted in a real refined way, and you could see they were special people, and some of them, you know, maybe were fine people, but couldn't discipline children at all, and you walked all over them. Teachers like that. It's a very rare teacher that you found that you really respected him, and when he cracked a joke, you could laugh. But you were still in fear when you were in the classroom. You had that fear, but it was more out of a respect than not out of respect. And that's a very tough, tightrope balance to walk. Again, the person I always say that comes to mind. We think which person that we see comes to mind like that. So a person like Rav Avinoam is somebody that comes to mind like that, where you know you're in the presence of a special person. There's no question about it. And you respect him, and I guess if Rav Avinoam would be upset with you, you'd feel terrible. If he really was angry at you, you would feel terrible. He says, how could I have disappointed him that he feels so bad about me? On the other hand, you always feel besimcha when you're around him, right? So you gotta always try to project, and obviously, you know, there's a lot necessary to do that. One of the critical elements is you have to be a baal bitachon. You have to have trust in Hashem. As a teacher, you have to mamish have bitachon Hashem, and if you have bitachon Hashem, you're not nervous. A lot of times we yell and scream and all these things, and because we just don't have enough bitachon Hashem. We don't have enough bitachon Hashem, and that's why we let our children get the best of us. You know, the kid was terrible in school, and so frustrating to deal with them. And as they get older, it's even more frustrating to deal with them. It doesn't get any easier. You gotta realize this is what Hashem sent me. So me getting angry at them isn't gonna make it any better. It doesn't, you know, I was talking to somebody recently. He's having problems with his kid. And, you know, the wife tells him the kids what it was terrible in school, and the husband comes home. He's gotta show the kid that they're serious. And then it came to me where he slapped the kid. He slapped the kid and, He says, well, I gotta show him. I said, what did you show him? His mom is, what did you show him? You show him that you're stronger than him. That's all you showed him. You didn't show him anything. And the kid will hate you for that. And you gotta have a certain type of bitachon. You gotta put trust in Hashem that this is my Gehenim on this earth. This is mamish the curse of Chava, Tsar Gittel Bonim. God said it is not gonna be easy to raise kids. Finished. You know, it's just not gonna be easy to raise kids. And you know what? You've probably done some averus in your life that you really deserve some really good punishments. You got some real good Gehenim coming to you when you leave this world. So Hashem's being real nice to you. He's giving you Gehenim in this world through your child. And take. So he was bad in school, so it's upsetting. Sure, it breaks your heart. Still got to smile. Still got to love him. Still got to show him that you love him. You got to express you're disappointed in him. And you've got to give him advice and suggestions and solutions how to help him. And you may have to discipline him too. But you can't show any anger. Not the where you're losing it kind of anger. And you expect, because, you know, the parent says, well, he has to know it's important. He has to know that that I'm still the boss. So how does he know I'm still the boss? I yell and scream and smack him. So, okay, you're the boss, but he's not going to like the boss. You know, you think I should approve of what he's doing? He says, you can't approve of what he's doing. But you've got to figure a method to help him without exerting your force over him. So it's not easy. Believe me, it's not easy. And how often we lose it in front of our kids. But we've got to remember, we have to have bitachon Hashem. You know, Hashem gave you this child, and this child is acting in this way. And it's causing you grief. And if you weren't supposed to have any grief, Hashem would have made sure you wouldn't have any grief. Would make sure you wouldn't have any grief. So you got to look at them as, you know, they're God's agents to bring you a little suffering in this world. It's part of the curse. We all have to be cursed with Tsar Gittel Bonim. You can't get out of it. Just like no woman can get out of the pains of labor, no matter what you're going to try. All right, they could put you, they could give you a walking epidural. They can give you this and that. At the end of the day, it ain't no picnic, I'm sure. There's not one lady. I mean, she, of course, is thrilled to bring a child into the world. But no one's going to say that, it was really wonderful. I wish I could live being pregnant and delivering all the time. I mean, as you're waddling around in your ninth month, you're not exactly thrilled with the immobility that you have. You know, it's a curse and finish. Get over it. It's a curse. You got to live with it. It's a tikkun. It's a tikkun, and it's what to learn from it. So guess what? Your kids are cursed too. Not that they are chas v'shalom terrible, but raising them is going to be a curse. You're going to have tzara out of it. Now, of course, we know lefum tzara agra, based on the pain, so is the reward. Can you imagine what kind of reward you're going to get for every parent who doesn't throw their kids in the garbage? Yeah. You know, okay, you may have not been the best parent, and even if you yell and scream and smack him, you know what? But it's still, you made the effort. You tried. You're going to get rewarded even if you make mistakes. And you got to remember that too. It's law, you know. It's not our job to bring up a perfect product. But then again, a lot of times say, you know, what a shot. How's it going to look on me if my kid's not so good? You know, we feel embarrassed, and that's really bothering you. If it's all of a sudden it's somebody else's kid, how come you have so much more patience? Somebody else's kid, you know. If you go, a person goes over to you, you know, Moshe, do me a favor. My kid's driving me nuts. Can you please talk to him? So fine. So the kid tells you, you know, I do this. I'm on drugs. I'm on this. All these things. You get up and smack him. You don't get up and smack him. First of all, he's not your kid. But it's more than that. You're able to look at it objectively. What's going to help to smack him? More than that, you don't feel threatened that that somebody else's kid is a juvenile delinquent. It doesn't threaten you. But as a parent, for some reason, we feel it threatens me. How's it going to look? How's it going to look? We have three wonderful kids, and this kid's a juvenile delinquent. It's a shande. A shande. It's a terrible thing. What kind of a parent was he? He could be the best parent in the world. And that's the way it comes out and finished. And your job, and this is the one that God gave you to take care of. He gave you the care of this, whatever, this kid with learning disabilities, with a poor self-esteem, and he's using the wrong coping skills, and this and that, and you could have been the greatest role model too. Could be the greatest role model. That's what Hashem gives you. So you're not supposed to love, he's not one of Hashem's kids. So you still gotta be besimcha with that kid. And if he turns up to grow up to be a bum, so he grows up to be a bum. No. What could you do? You tried your best. At the end of the day, you know, just like if God forbid a person's sick, and they don't get better, what are you gonna do? You're gonna complain about it? you're going to live with what you got with simcha. So you got to live with that child with simcha too. It's that attitude and those challenges. A teacher walks into the classroom. He doesn't want his authority compromised. He doesn't want people questioning his authority, you know. And they get all hung up on this power issue. You get power struggles between parent, teachers, and kids. You got to take it easy. Now you got, but you still got to be firm. Got to be firm. You can't let them walk all over you. But there has to be this balance, which is a difficult one. But I remember those teachers who had that balance. I remember once I had a teacher in grade, Rabbi Scheinerman. He was in grade, when we were in grade 8. So he was our teacher. He was also like in charge of the grade 7 and 8. And he also, because this was years ago, the school's not a lot of money, he also was in charge of the physical plant of the school. So if a pipe bursted, he had to take care of that too. Like, you know, that's how he had to make a parnasa. He couldn't pay enough by being a Rebbe, so he had to be a maintenance man too a little bit. See, he was the maintenance man. So sometimes he'd come, so we had the last class of the day. I forgot what, we had him for Chumash. It's the last class, you can imagine, about 20 grade 8 boys. Okay, this is like at 4:30 in the afternoon, like the last 40 minutes of school. And so he come 10 minutes late, and we were a rowdy bunch. But so one thing, he knew karate. Unbelievable. So once in a while, he'd walk into the room, make a mean face. He goes, "Okay, guys, karate time. Hi, wah!" And he says, "Come on, go get me." And the whole class tries to take him down, you know? And he's throwing kids all over the place. You know, and in 3 minutes, like, everybody's, "Oh, I'm going to get the rim." We were flying all over. He says, "Okay, now we're going to learn." You know? So how can you not learn? You know, like, so I guess he wasn't such a funny Rebbe. Like, he maybe didn't have such a big, you know, couldn't crack jokes that would be funny. But he knew it would be a blast for us, right? And we would all be besimcha. Wow, we got to do karate with the Rebbe. I mean, he killed us, but it was still half the fun. Yeah. And some of the stronger guys up just gave him a little run for the money, but he flew them all off, you know. And then he sat down, we learned. We learned for 25 minutes. He knew at the end of the day they're going to learn. We didn't want to learn. But after you had a little karate, and you got a little excitement. And so you're able to learn a little bit. So, you know, it's, so you never forget those kinds of things. And whatever he taught that day, maybe we learned a little bit, right? So, that's, if you want to, there's a song that, what's his name? A.B. Rotenberg, in the First Journeys. What's it called? The Rebbe, the ninth man. The song's called "The Ninth Man on the Team." And that, you listen to that song. You should get those. It's good. Those are good tapes for Bali Tshuva. It's good, you know, the journey series. He talks about how the Rebbe was the ninth man on the team, and every Rebbe, the kids ran him out of school, and this one somehow they couldn't run out of school. And he always was calm and patient. And so then he played a ball game with them, and he won the game for them. So now they had to behave. And they learned with him. So that's the balance you have to achieve. It's not easy. It's not easy. Yeah, I'm sorry, I had a question.
So you mentioned, let's say the child, the difficult child that's sent to you is kind of your challenge.
Yep.
But what about for the child himself? How do we explain, you know, his child is, let's say the father or the parents are, you know, they can't handle it. They fail the test. But then the kid gets messed up because of all the, you know, the way the parents react. So how do we...
Do you need counseling?
No. But I'm saying, how do we, from a philosophical point of view, like, why would Hashem do that? Like, the kid is an innocent kid, right?
Then
that gets
the
sent.
Test.
Yeah, it's the parents' test, but the kid gets messed up because the parents, fail the test. So how do we explain that? You know what I'm trying to ask? Like,
how does the parent explain his behavior to
child,
or how we philosophically understand it, like any bad things that happen in our life? How do you philosophically explain why a person gets sick? It's Hashem's test, right? So the kid has a test too. Kid has a test too. They didn't have the best parents with the best parenting skills. It's his test, but doesn't mean he can't overcome that too.
No, but you okay. But it's not your, like, you could have, let's say, a kid who comes in who, let's say, is not so bad, so to speak, or not so...
And has abusive parents.
Yeah, and he has abusive parents.
So that's his test. It's his test. Hashem, for whatever reason, he wanted this child to grow up under such a circumstance. Just like a child grows up in poverty, it's a test. So you grow up with parents that are... But ultimately, if you can... There are many children who have been raised in abused homes that grow up to be incredible people, because once they can get through it and understand why their parents were the way they were, they'll never be like that. They need good counseling. They need to go, just like you go through anything else. You go through poverty, it could have negative effects on you, or it could have a positive. You learn to be industrious. Person grows up being sick, chas v'shalom. It could be a negative, it could be a positive. So these are all yesurim, sufferings that for whatever reason God determined. The kid could be a Gilgal, and you know, he probably was a terrible parent to his children and whatever, and now he has to get it back, that whatever it is. So it's Hashem's way. It's Hashem's way. And everything gets squared at the end. And parents make mistakes, they make mistakes. And parents can grow from those mistakes too. So that's how you have to understand it. Yeah.
We're learning here the book Chovat HaTalmidim, and basically a lot of the characters here that he mentioned and he suggested, it's not just between Talmid and Rebbe, it's between friends, between people. I mean, if you are friendly and still keeping your respect between your friends or whatever, it doesn't have to be your Talmid or
I'll talk about where friends fit in, but he's writing from the perspective of how to be a Talmud, and generally the education primarily comes from the teachers. I mean, most what he's been talking about is the teacher has to come to grips with what kind of students we have nowadays and how to guide them.
You can expand it.
Certainly you can expand it. You know, any piece of...
I would like to see Rav Avinom as a friend, not just...
But he's a teacher.
He is.
Okay, so there's a place for friends too. But the goal of this book is teaching students. You can always apply these areas in other areas. It's not any part of Torah isn't limited to the one area. But this was the concern he had. The concern was educating the next generation, and the concern was how teachers can show children the proper way. You could have a friend and be a teacher to him too. You know, that certainly we can apply it. There's no question about it. But the title is expressing the issue that prompted him to write this. And that was the problem, that the kids weren't growing up properly. Okay, let's continue. Uma, middle of Chavah. Uma ma'od meir lono hashalah, zichron levracha. Bidarcheinu binyanei chinuch doreinu. And how much the shalah stands for Shnei Luchos Habris. The last name was Horowitz. I always forget the first name. It was a great, great Kabbalist. And it was named after his book, the Shnei Luchos Habris. And how much he illuminates for us in our ways, in the areas of education in our generation. But Amar al-Pasuk, as he says in the Pasuk, is a famous vort. King Solomon says, Al tochach leitz, pen yisna eko. Do not rebuke the leitz, do not rebuke the cynic, lest he will hate you. Rebuke the wise man and he will love you. So on the simple level, it means somebody's doing something wrong. So if the guy is a cynic, a fool, however you want to translate lates, if you go and tell him he's doing something wrong, don't bother telling him he's doing something wrong. He will hate you. He will hate you. But if he's a wise man, he will love you. So, you know, you could think, so that's great. So what do I do with the lates? Mm-hmm. Let's say you got two kids. The eldest is a leitz, and the next one's a chacham. So King Solomon says, you can't rebuke the leitz. So you can let him run wild. The chacham I can rebuke, and the leitz I can't. Right? So that's, thank you. Shkoyach, but no shkoyach. So you're telling me the chacham I can rebuke, and the one I can't. The other one I can't. So what do you do with the other one? And we have a lot of kids. Our kids are leitzim, because we already explained, a cynic is someone who doesn't believe in values, tears down values. That's a leitz. And certainly the child who gives you problems is the one who doesn't share your value system, and everything you believe in he tears down. So he's a leitz. And everything you're telling him is values, and he doesn't want to believe in values. So what does King Solomon say? Don't show it to him. Don't rebuke him. So what does that mean? So that's what he's going to say. So he's saying, so therefore, so now the Shalah explains. Beautiful. When you have to rebuke someone besides you, someone else. Don't denigrate him. And don't curse him out. Lame or to say, Leitzata, you good for nothing shmo. How could you do such a thing? You leitz you. You cynic you. Don't label him that. Because that way he will hate you. He won't listen to you. But rather rebuke the part of him who's the wise man. And Merlo, you say to him, you're a chacham. You're such a smart boy. How could you do such a thing? How could such a smart boy like you do such a thing? In other words, you first butter him up. And it's not buttering up, it's the emes. The emes says he is a chacham. But he's also a chacham. He's also a chacham. He's a smart leitz. You know, the kid who has to think through how he's gonna make you angry. It's not simple. He's with cleverness. And in other words, you always have to realize he is a wonderful child. He has kedusha in him. He has the spirit of a yid. He has an isham inside of him, and he's probably, most children give us problems are not dummies. They're very bright and very smart and very wise. So they call him a wise guy, right? So you have to rebuke the part of him that's the chacham, and don't rebuke the part of him that's a leitz. So you have to wait for the right time to give him the rebuke. Wait for a time where he's acting a little bit more maturely, and compliment him on his maturity, and says, you know, you're a very bright son. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of how you did this and this and that and that. And you're amazing, and the family appreciates what you do and all this. So then you say it, and you know, if you could just take care of this little thing that you're doing, it would be, you'd be so much, you know, appreciated by other people, and people wouldn't misunderstand you and this and that. So the guy says, the guy feels that you're picking him up. So then if you have to tell something, he'll accept it. Not only that, he'll accept it, he will love you. He will love you and listen to you. That's what the Shalosh says. So he says, how careful we have to be in our generation, but in this area, when the hearts of the young people themselves are so far away from us. And besides this method of rebuking to the wise man, like we just mentioned, it's not only that in terms of the rebuke getting in, but it's important for us to do that to bring the heart of the young people closer to us. For the essential chinuch, it will work. Even if we're not rebuking him, but just keep telling the kid he's a chacham. Keep telling the kid he's a good boy and he's going to make it. He's going to be a Talmud chacham one day. To open up the strength of the student and of the body and the brains, to get out of what's hidden. Remember at the beginning we said chinuch is to take what's inside a child and bring it out. So if you keep speaking positively about him and talk about the good qualities he has, it'll bring it out. To strengthen him and to gird him in Torah and service. Says mashal, we can give a mashal to this, a parable. We praise the fellow that he's philanthropic. He's a giver, even though he's not such a big giver. But you say he's a giver. He gave $50 to shul. Well, that's not big money. It's not big money. So, oh boy, what a generous man you are. You're so generous. Thank you so much. You know, your generosity is unbelievable. Keep telling him he's generous. He's gonna start believing it. It's the same. Just like the media tells you, you know, buy this, buy this, buy this. And you know what? And you do it. You buy it. We keep telling you, you're generous, you're generous, you're generous. Ooh, the nanadvin is here. The generous one is here, right? Keep saying it. It will strengthen within himself to give some tzedakah that he would not have been able to do, to be able to control his spirit beforehand. Why? To that degree that we praise him that he is generous, we've opened up, we've seduced, so to speak, the strength in his soul. Lots is to come out, to overpower the attribute of stinginess that he has. So therefore every parent and teacher has to search hard and find a good quality of a student and to praise him for it and strengthen him. Lamer to say things like this. Quote, you have so much talent and ability to be great in Torah and service Hashem. Omedes l'chol ha-matorah, it should stand for you as a goal. V'imrak tavo tagelem, but if, and if you'll work at it, you will be that. Show him what he can be. Stretch his vision of who and what he is. Right? Avol b'seichel v'das yasu avon lamed. You gotta do it with cleverness, with smartness. You don't want the child to be egotistical to this. You don't want to go overboard to make him have a big ego, to be a balgaiva, or to get lazy. Oh, I'm so great, I don't have to bother. I'm so great, I'm going to be smart anyway, without doing anything. You also don't want to sound condescending, that's not real, it has to be genuine. So, we didn't give all the sources in all the places and listed all the places in the Torah and Shulchan Aruch. Asher morim lanu esdarchei achinuch, which teach us the methodologies of teaching. Vasher b'dereinu zetzrichim lehosu v'daktumim, and in our generation we have to increase and be more meticulous in it. Kikachal asher yarav l'chavas yimso. The more you look, you'll find. There's laws. As you look in the Shulchan Aruch Siman Reish Mem Vav, it talks about the laws of teaching. And you'll look it up. I don't have to review things that we already know. But there are things that I got to tell you. She says, nachin, it's proper, for example. She eats the poem of Shavua a couple times a week. Yilman amalavid in tamayid of Midrash or Ein Yaakov. You should learn with a student Midrash or the Gemaras of Ein Yaakov. Those are like the stories of the Talmud. As a kid's learning Gemara all day long, and it's hard, it's analytical, it breaks their heads. So, you know, a couple times a week, learn something lighter, a Midrash, a story from the Midrash with an explanation, an Ein Yaakov, a piece of Gemara that has a story to it and with a message to it. For Amr Chameinu Zichron Lebrach, a rabbi of blessed memory said, if you want to recognize the one who said and brought the world into existence, you want to be able to recognize God, you know what you should do? Lamon Haggadah. Learn Haggadah. Not the Haggadah of Shal Pesach, but it's talking about the types of Gemara that are the stories of the Gemara. And so an older student can learn it on his own. And when a Rebbe wants to teach an ethical concept before his students, don't only talk about the punishments. Don't just say, oh, you guys are going to burn in hell. Look, we're going to learn, you know, for not keeping Shabbos, you get this punishment, that punishment. I mean, you got to do that too, a little bit. You got to tell them how important it is. He's saying, but not only that. Rakam yikra min yonei godless nishmas yisrael, but also read a little bit about the greatness of the Jewish soul. And that they are closer and higher than even angels. Because even if the soul of the child will be subjugated and humbled before the ethical teachings and the punishments, when you do that, not only will you not get him closer, the wound of this distancing, as we talked before, can it come out of such talk? But if you add and increase the greatness of the Jewish people, then the words of Musar will help too. And the soul of the young man will arouse and get on fire. So you gotta have that balance and that blend. And not the same rote learning, the same hard Gemara. Everybody has to take it easy a couple times a week and give them things that are a little bit easier to understand that are able to get inside. Okay, we have one more paragraph to go. We'll finish that tomorrow. And Be'ezus Hashem will begin chapter 1, which is going to talk about how we talk to a child and tell him how much Hashem loves him. And that's the beginning of how we deal with a child.